Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 24, Conversations from Ironman Camp. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes, not just the glampers, but those that rough it as well.
And you get that in the sport, don't you? You have everyone. You've got the shiny toys, the pointy end of the field, right through to everyone else who's just having a go.
Yeah, there's always some bling, and then at the other end there's the, it looks like it's been put together with a bit of number eight wire. But
yeah.
Hey, whatever works and whatever fits at that for that person, all good.
Indeed, yep, that's what our sport's about.
Yes, welcome back. It's been a little bit of a gap. Yeah. We're both melting a little bit here.
Yeah, heat wave, but I'll take it any day of the week.
Sun's out, guns out, but yeah. That doesn't quite work on a podcast.
Almost another excuse for a beer, but I had a few of those last week on holiday.
Yeah, no, we're into the serious stuff now. But before we jump into it, a little reminder of who we are, both for ourselves as well as anybody who might be listening. I'm Doug. I'm the sort of the oil that tries to fill the uncomfortable silences, and I've done enough of these events to talk about them as if I know what I'm talking about, but maybe not quite.
Totally, and that's the beauty of this, is that we want to make sure we cover all the perspectives that we're here for, the everyday athletes.
Yep. And you are Gerard, who are you?
I am the coach. I've come from the background of an everyday athlete. I still very much am. I'm not a high performer, but I'm the coach. I'm the one who sets the direction and the rules about what we do.
You are Mr. Smith.
Indeed.
Yeah, Gerard to his friends. And the way he coaches, he doesn't have many friends. So jumping back to the last three episodes, we kind of did the same thing, but for each of the three disciplines that make up Ironman.
Yeah, so we just touched on individually the swim, the bike, and the run, and being away that we had pre-recorded the last one. So, there's been lots of information in those, and I thought that today we would wrap those up with some follow-ups from our Ironman camp that we had recently.
Yeah. So we may talk about some of the disciplines individually, but some of the aspects we'll refer to, certainly if it's something like nutrition, that's relevant across everything, hydration, et cetera, et cetera. So,
bang on.
Yeah, but before we jump into that, but wait, there's more. Camp.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was fantastic. So we had a big group there, biggest camp ever, and a couple of options. Some people doing a longer one, some doing a slightly shorter. The beauty of camp this year is that we experienced all the conditions that you could possibly have on race day. We had a stinking hot day when we first got there. We had quite a strong wind another day. We had choppy water. We had a bit of rain. And we got to do lots of fun stuff as well, like the local park run events and trail running and plenty of time on the course.
Yeah, and camp takes place on the same venue course Ironman New Zealand.
We do go to Taupō simply to have the time on the course. And particularly, our riding here in Wellington is slow riding. So you can never go out for a 180k ride. It would just take all day and all night for some people.
Yeah.
So by going up there, we get to experience it on the course, do that big session, and get an idea of what it's going to be like on the day.
Yep. And you get in the lake, you do some of that open water swimming that we talk about.
Yep, and beautiful lake, lovely and warmer than Wellington water anyway.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we had plenty of time in the lake and, again, in all those different conditions.
Yeah.
So just magic. It was it worked really, really well.
And I won't put you on the spot, but I'm sure there'll be some interesting statistics about number of gels consumed and bottles of this and bottles of that. And
well, there was a lot of bottles, mainly hydration fluids,
yeah,
a few beers. but yeah, that honestly, we did have that very first day we got there. We arrived and kicked off training at 1 o'clock with a lap of the ride out to Reparoa and back. And it was stinking hot, and it was a real eye-opener for a lot of people that when the weather's up like that, that you really do have to stay on top of the nutrition, the hydration in particular. Yep.
And as we've said before, you get the eye-openers in before the day.
Yes,
Experience what it's like, because, 5-6 degrees warmer, and you're out there versus trudging around Wellington.
Yep, big difference.
All of a sudden, you need a little bit more hydration on board.
Yeah, indeed.
And as for, you know, not just the people who went on camp, but everybody who's training towards the half or the full, you know, February, it's that month where there's some big miles.
Yeah.
The body and the brain are being tested.
Totally. We're right at the peak of training now. So kind of late January, early February is generally when, for most people, when the biggest stuff happens. And so I call it February fatigue, that you're at this point, the event's only a month away now. You've done some big training. You're building the confidence that you can actually do it. But there's still some big workouts to come in the training plan. So, yeah, physically, the bodies do get tired because we're doing so much. But also the brain's just, we want it now. We're that close. We want to just make it happen. Yeah, so,
and always a question of, to be honest, if I skip one now, it's going to make no difference.
Yeah.
Now, in some of the other weeks where you're leading up and it's the odd one that you miss, then probably not. But, you know, those big days are important.
That they are.
Yep. Not just for the physical, the knowledge that you can spend. Six. I don't know what the longest ride, it depends who's...
Around 6 hours, yeah, give or take.
Irrespective of how far you go, you need to know that you can spend 6 hours in the saddle.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
So the usual rules, like we've been saying all along, that if you do have to trade off sessions, get the big ones, get the hard ones in, let the smaller ones go.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones that aren't going to make a tangible difference, but those final few big ones, that's just going to take you into race day with a lot more confidence, and that's that next level of fitness.
Yeah. Things like diet and hydration, etc., very important as you get fatigued as well.
Yeah.
It's something to keep in either, you know, the sleep, what you're putting in your mouth, that whole sort of process is even more important because you're putting in those big sessions.
Yeah, well, that leads on really nicely to one of the things, the first things I wanted to talk about from camp.
Okay.
Is that the... So what I wanted to do is cover off a range of discussions, conversations that I had, individuals together as the group over camp, because there were some really good ones that came out of that. And the very first one is that there's a few people who feel like they're training big, they're putting in all this time and expecting to see a bit of weight loss, which you understand, you would do, but it's not happening for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's going on at the moment is that training is so big and people are tired, is that the bodies are just craving food.
Yeah.
And it's the old thing of, oh, well, I just did a 5-6 hour ride or a very long run, I deserve a treat. And in some cases, there are just too many treats creeping in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah, it's understandable. You don't want to be absolutely, completely strict on what you're eating. But you do have to recognise that you can't just go nuts just because you are training big.
Yeah, and way back in 2013, when I didn't really lose a lot of weight in the last 2 months, probably.
Yeah.
I think in hindsight, I used the training as an excuse to pretty much eat what I wanted.
Yeah.
If I did it again, I'd be a little more careful, because I do know that, you know, for every kg less you weigh, everything becomes that little bit, I won't say easier, but you go faster at the same effort.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I would eat more
consciously.
More things. Yeah, things that are good. If you want volume, then go for a fruit or a vegetable.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Two tubs of cherry tomatoes versus the chocolate bar.
Yeah.
And
look, it doesn't mean you have to go without treats and lock yourself away in a small room. But yeah, if you want to get the most out of your performance, there are some little things you can do right now, because the training is so big that if you eat very, very well for the next month, there is still going to be the opportunity for a bit more weight loss just before the race.
And we've talked about it before, but if you did want to discuss it further, Gerard's your man around nutrition and that sort of input-output equation.
Yeah.
If you are looking to shed a few kgs to make it that little bit easier, or again, around sort of moving on for what you should be taking in to fuel the body properly.
Yeah, well, look, the biggest thing is please don't listen to this and go, okay, I have to be strict, I have to go on a crash diet. Okay, you have to fuel your training and your recovery right now. Do that with really plenty of really good food and just cut out the extras. That's what's going to make the difference to those people who are kind of tipping the scales the wrong way at the moment.
Yep. If I knew anything about cars, I'm sure there's an analogy with regards to the sort of oil you put in a Rolls Royce versus a Toyota Surf 1996. Yeah. If you want it to run smoothly.
Which do you drive, Doug?
I've got one of each. You don't see the roller. I keep it in the garage. Yeah. So on nutrition, we've talked just there. We were talking a little bit about, you know, the day-to-day nutrition, feeding the athlete as they train and recover, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Because you're doing on camp, you're doing the ride course, the run. Was race nutrition part of the chat?
Yeah, big chat. So we had a sit down under the trees by the lake, lovely setting, and talked it all through. And the biggest thing that came out is, once again, you get 20 people in a room to discuss nutrition, there's 20 different things going on. So the whole purpose was just to generate some different ideas for those who are still looking for more. Some people have it locked in, got it all sorted, that's all good.
And are some people asking, what are the sort of questions? Is it, you know, I'm halfway through the swim and I feel like I'm fading already, or I get to the start line and I just don't feel I've eaten enough, or I overeat and then I get on the start line and I'm like, oh, feel a little bit...
Yeah. So the biggest thing is always about the bike nutrition, because that's the biggest part of the day. Going kind of back a bit earlier than that, there's people with various experiences with carbo loading out there. Some who swear by it, and others who haven't had such a good experience. So I always err on the side of caution. If it's not something you're familiar with and know works for you, don't try and do it. Just maybe adjust what you're eating a little bit. Don't try and eat lots more volume. Don't overfeed yourself. Just perhaps adjust what you're doing in the last couple of days. Definitely looking to cut down the fibre, thinking about all those healthy fruits and veggies you eat, just being conscious that some of those are a lot more fibrous, reducing that.
Yep.
Simpler foods, and perhaps a little bit more towards the carbohydrate that you're eating, cutting down the fats and perhaps a little bit of the protein. But those are relatively small adjustments, and if in doubt, go with what you normally eat day to day, week to week, before big training, because that's what your body knows.
Yeah, I was going to say that you should be very experienced, because Gerard does bang the drum about nothing new on race day.
Yeah.
And with these big sessions you've been having, or that people have, on the Friday evening meal, try and have the evening meal you're going to have on the Friday before Ironman.
Bang on.
Breakfast.
Same with breakfast.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And it removes another one of those mental, oh, this might not work for me.
Yeah.
Well, you know it's worked the 7 times you've tried it before going for an hour's swim and riding for 6 hours.
Yep.
So stick with it.
Yep, bang on.
Yep.
So speaking of breakfast on the day before, the breakfast of race day, again, go with things that you know work. A lot of people have perhaps some nerves or some things going on in the morning makes it harder to eat. So don't feel like you have to have a huge breakfast. You've done very little training in the last couple of days before the race. You don't need a huge breakfast. All you need is enough that you are feeling satisfied, that you're not feeling hungry between then and the start of the swim.
You're not trying to shovel enough away to last 10, 12, 14 hours.
No.
You want to sort of get off the out of the water, get on the bike, and then start fueling up again.
That's it.
So I certainly experienced it. I went with porridge, having only ever tried it once before, not on Ironman day, but a different day, and it wasn't a great experience.
Yeah,
I think I mentioned it once before. I'm sure Cameron Brown is a slice of toast and a couple of poached eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, it's just something to so you feel like you've eaten.
That's it.
Some people throw in a gel, just before 10 minutes before the swim, just to make sure.
Yep.
Don't decide on an English fry up when you haven't been practicing with that.
Yeah, so that is topping off your energy, making sure you're not hungry on the morning, enough to get you through the swim, and then it kind of starts on the bike, and that is the main feeding time of the day. And the biggest thing is it's a fine balance. Those who have power meters, we've been able to do some calculations about how much energy they're burning, therefore how much fuel they take in.
Yeah.
And so the bigger you are and the harder you ride, the more fuel you need. So we can't go through a formula here on the podcast, but for the team, we've been going through that, working out, looking to replace roughly half of the energy that you're burning on the bike.
Right, okay.
You cannot replace it all. There's just no way to do that because you cannot take enough food in and have the stomach digest it.
Yep.
So you start the day, you've got stores on board of glycogen, of fat. You're going to burn some of that. You're going to burn some of the nutrition you eat on the bike. But all of that balances out to make sure you're not going into the run in a complete nutritional hole.
Yep, yep. So just jumping back to that comment you made about power meters.
Yeah.
So if somebody's, if you're averaging, make up a number, 175 watts on the bike.
Yep.
And you're 60 kgs versus someone who's averaging that and they're 90 kgs.
Yes.
Is the 90 kg person going to have to take in more?
Or
is it purely related to the power output?
Purely related to the power. Yeah. Right, cool. Basically, the 90 kg person is going to go slower for that same power output.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the power output is, you know, watts equals kilojoules burned, therefore
that's
replace.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Just now, makes my head hurt.
Now, an analogy, you were talking about cars before, and I think I've got one. I started playing with it in the discussions on camp, so I'll see if I can develop it a bit further. Hydration. Okay, when you're thinking about your car, think about three things that keep it running. You've got your water that goes into keeping it cool, you've got your oil that kind of lubricates and keeps things running, and you've got your petrol, which is your fuel that you're burning.
This is just fantastic.
I thought you'd like it. So look, same deal for when you're out there. The water, your coolant, is your hydration. It's how much fluid you're taking in. And that fluid, it comes from a variety of sources, being plain water, sports drinks, Coke, whatever it might be. Okay? So you need to keep that fluid going in, and the hotter the day, the more fluid you need to keep you cool.
Yeah.
Your electrolytes, they're like the oil. They're the thing that helps keep the motor running, and if you run out of those, then your car's not going to stay as cool. You're not going to be as efficient in burning your fuel.
Yep.
That's the role of them. And then the fuel, the petrol, is the gels, the bars, the sandwiches, the whatever it is, the energy that you're taking in.
Yep.
So think about all of those three things. You do need them all. In some cases, they all come in one combination. You take a sports drink, the on-course drink is pure hydration, and that has got fluid in every bottle, it's got electrolytes in every bottle, and it's got carbohydrate, it's got fuel in every bottle. So, yeah, think about those things and read the packets. You take the other extreme, like a one-square meal bar, which are really popular. Okay, there's no fluid in those. There is negligible amount of electrolyte, but a lot of fuel. So you need, you can't just eat one square meals, that's not enough.
Yep.
You've got to have a balance of all of those things.
I think the car might seize up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think putting a bit of thought into it in the weeks, months leading up, so that you know the sort of the balance of what you should be taking in.
Yeah.
Again, with all this training, you don't turn up on race day having never tried riding this far, swimming this far,
yep.
So you have ample time to test and decide on what works absolutely best for you.
And hopefully most people have got a good handle on that now.
Yep.
There's, in our squad, there's really two key long rides left where we want everyone to simulate and practice and really prove it.
Yep.
That's kind of coming down to the last chances, so make the most of those chances.
Yep. So people will sort their own stuff out that they'll have on their bike and in their bento boxes or pockets here, pockets there.
Yep.
Strap taped on, blue tacked on, whatever. There's obviously special needs as well.
Yeah,
it's an interesting one.
So tell us about special needs.
So, well, when I did it on the, I didn't have anything special needs on the bike.
Okay.
But I have been there and watched people stop at special needs in years past, and it's actually an absolute hodgepodge of whatever people felt like they needed.
It's fascinating, isn't
it? You know, from someone sitting down with, you know, pot noodles.
Yeah.
Through to, you know, people taking sandwiches and
hot cross buns.
Yeah, courtesy of, yeah, anyway, we won't mention that. It's one of those things where if there's something you think you might want, just put it in your special needs bag.
Yeah.
You know, that's on the bike. On the run, I had a frozen Powerade that I'd handed in on the Friday, and it was still almost frozen when I got it with one lap to go, or two laps to go on the run, I think, whenever it the special needs comes up. And it was just, because it was a warm afternoon,
fantastic. That's gold, isn't it?
Yeah.
Having something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So look, there's the on-course food, and some people like it and will use it. Others prefer to use their own things. So special needs is an opportunity to stock up on those, have a treat, whatever it is. The big thing is that we've seen, when we've been standing there, we've seen people who haven't got their special needs bags. So if you're using your own nutrition, you have to be ready to go. If something happens, if your bag is not there, you have to be ready to deal with that. Because I've seen both people get really, really thrown by it, and also others who are ready to shrug it off and go, shit happens, I just got to carry on and do what I can in the best that I can.
Yeah, and that almost brings us on to, you know, we've discussed a few sort of food and that type of thing. We're not going to discuss equipment, you know, bikes, shoes, whatever, wetsuits. The thing that really gets tested, apart from the muscles and the skeletal system and all those other bits from the neck down, is the brain.
Mindset,
again, neither of us are trained psychologists, but you know, it's an interesting one when race day comes, and in the days, weeks leading up, what the brain starts to tell you, the stories, the tricks it starts playing on your mind.
Yeah, it sure does. So those times, as you are tapering down, actually we'll talk more specifically about that as we get closer, but the brain plays up during the taper. It'll tell you all sorts of funny things. At that stage, you just have to trust what you've done, trust the program that you're using.
Yeah, and I think the brain, we talk about a race plan, so that's filed away in the brain. So trust it. And all those things about holding back the effort at the start and being able to push that little bit when you get tired, because with a bit of luck, you're not always going to be tired, because it's a long day. There's going to be ups and downs.
It's a day of patience, isn't it?
Yeah, and you talked about, I suppose, smart decisions, and it's how you react.
Yeah.
You know, the real measure of a person is how they react in adversity. You know, we're all great when things are going hunky-dory.
Yeah.
But when things go a little bit skew-whiff, you know, you reach for a bottle behind you and it's not there anymore. And in fact, your whole cage is gone.
Yeah.
Or...
Which happened on Camp to Phil.
Yep. And happened to a friend of mine. He got to special needs and I said, how's your... On the bike, and I said, how's your race going? He goes, good, but this stuff... Oh.
It's not there.
This stuff wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
And it can really, really mess with you.
One thing that I spoke to everyone on camp about is that, you know, I'm quite big on using training zones and data as we're training and to help plan for races. But in reality, when you come to the race, it's not about those. It's about the mental side of things. And like you said, holding back early on and pushing on when you're tired and making those decisions under pressure. Because as much as we plan, there is stuff that's going to happen on that day that you just can't control, you can't think about, you can't prepare for.
Yeah. And that holding back, it's hard for some people to think that that's a good idea. But I can tell you what, finishing strong is much better than not finishing at all.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
I was going to talk about the swim.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Because that's one of the big ones that can throw a lot of people that you remember standing there at the start line and there's some people in tears.
Our survey says the swim is what scares the you-know-what out of most people.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Even if they've done all the training, they've done the distances, they know they can swim the distance. When you've got 1,400, you know, swim caps bobbing up and down.
Who look like they're all ready to give you the bash.
Yeah, and everyone looks like a swimmer.
Yeah.
There's all shapes and sizes, but swimmers look like swimmers. And so you, again, go back to that race plan. Think about where you're going to position yourself. Why are you positioning yourself there? Because you made that decision, because it's the best decision for you.
Yeah.
So it's a positive thing.
Yep.
Don't start to second guess. It's...
Hopefully you've had the opportunity to practice some of those things as well, that you might have done the Ocean Swim, one of the Ocean Swim Series events where there's a lot of people around you. You might have, hopefully you have swum in all sorts of weather, choppy conditions, things like that. And you don't have to love those situations, but you have to be familiar with them so that you're ready for them on the day.
Yeah, and that's weather as well. I know that's the one thing we can't control. We're pretty good at most things, you and I, Jared. But, you know, if it is a bit choppy, just try and say, you know, I've swum in this. Yep, I may be going to take a little bit longer, but I can do it.
And look, we can sit here and say this, but we know that nerves are not a rational thing. But any time you can remind yourself of what you are capable of, what you have done in training, hopefully that does help a lot of people to reduce the amount of nerve. Not just take it all away, but at least reduce some of it.
Yep, and you've given people... We followed schedules for a reason.
Mm.
So I think you've got to trust and believe in that training. And you know, a lot of people I know, and I can't remember exact names or what their mantra was, but sometimes you've got to think of something and just have it, whether it's written on your hand or wherever, or just indelibly inked in your brain. When it does get a bit tough, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Is it for me? Yeah, it's a little bit for me. Is it for my mum who passed away 7 years ago? Yeah. Maybe it is that as well. Or maybe it's because you want to inspire your kids.
Yeah.
But just get something that tickles your brain and gets a few chemicals going.
Yeah.
That pushes you on.
For a lot of people, that's something that's outside of them. It's easy to make excuses or let yourself off the hook with various things. But when you're doing it for other people, for other purposes, that's a huge driver.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just that little thing that might get you that little bit further.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing, any time that the brain is going on about things or creating nerves or you're struggling, is breathe. Always come back to control the breathing, relax the breathing. It's amazing what that simply does to the rest of the body and the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's lots of, you know, many other sports where there's examples. The other sport that I played a fair bit of is golf. And, you know, they'll often say, don't let, you know, one bad hole ruin a round. And often, you know, if the first hole's a bad hole, the average amateur will have a bad round.
Yeah.
But you know what? That bad hole could be the 17th, not the first. In your head, you've got to say, do you know what? I'm now going to play 17 good holes because I know I can.
Yeah.
So just, you know, don't let one small negative impact what is a very, very long day.
What I really like about golf is that every hole or even every shot, there is the opportunity to stop, take a moment and reset. Often when you're swimming or riding or running, you don't have that stop and reset moment. So you've got to find some way to create it for yourself. And Rowan, who was in the squad a number of years ago, he had a fantastic one of tree it. And if something was going on, he would find a tree, you go and touch the tree, you leave it all in that tree, and that's your reset, you carry on.
Yeah, and there'll be weird and wonderful out there. There'll be people who are singing to themselves or chanting or whatever.
Yeah.
There'll be people who are just in the zone and you think, crikey, they don't look like much fun. They don't look like they're enjoying themselves. But, you know, there is a thing, race day magic.
Yeah.
There'll be moments where you question why you're out there, but there'll be many, many more where you think, I am loving this.
Yep. And race day magic is just about everything coming together on the day. It doesn't mean it'll go perfectly, but those doubts get erased. You've done the training, you've had the taper, you're fresh, you're there, things just come together more than perhaps you believed they could. But you've got to give them the chance to do that. You've got to believe in the magic. You've got to do the training. You've got to do the resting, the recovering. You've got to do the planning. Then the magic will come.
Yep. And I'm yet to see a race report that says, day went perfect, couldn't have gone any better. There's always a this or a that. But let's hope that in most cases, the positives far outweigh the drop gel or I stubbed my toe with 10K to go or whatever. But just the one thing I would say as a, you know, middle of the pack kind of guy is just have something in your mind that inspires.
Yeah, great.
Because it will help with, yes, you'll get physically tired, but if there's anything that would keep you going that little bit longer, just tuck it away.
Magic. Yep. All right. So look, this could be a new record, so we better wrap up around here. But that's brilliant, Doug. So those I wanted to bring together a few things that some of the key conversations from camp. We are, at the time this comes out, just over 4 weeks away from Ironman, so we'll be talking more about Ironman-related things over the coming weeks. But if there is anything specific that people out there would like to hear, please reply on Facebook, post a comment, let us know, and we'll see what we can address.
Yeah, and I think just the thing over the next couple of 3 weeks, practice, you know, that pacing, that nutrition. If you're a run walker, you know what that's going to look like. Mental strategy, sort of. There's nothing quite like race day.
Yeah.
But certainly just where you think you're going to be mentally, you know, when you're pushing a little bit harder and you're starting to feel a bit fatigued. So
just remind yourself of what those reasons are, those inspirations.
Yep.
You, because yeah, we're at the big training, so use those now and then so that you're familiar with them again for race day.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right, thank you, Doug.
Pleasure.
Back again next week.
See you then.